From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad at it. And we're glad to welcome in Jennifer Campbell, the director of Camp Pendola, in addition to many other hats that she wears here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Jennifer, good day to you.
Hi, how are you today?
Why are you not here in person?
It's a work-from-home day for me.
So oh, my goodness.
I take advantage of those when I can.
Of course, I never know where home is for you. Sometimes it's up in the mountains. Sometimes it's in Colfax. Sometimes it's in Camptonville.
It is.
Yeah.
Today, it's just in Roseville. So
okay, very good. Very good. We don't need your address.
Yeah, no, not yet.
So, camp's about ready to fire up.
It is. I love that you used fired up, though. That was perfect. But we're not talking about that event today. So, yeah, we're getting started. We're just a few weeks away, really. I mean, I had a friend in college who used to be like, everything is just tomorrow. So it's kind of like it's tomorrow as well.
Yes.
We start with campers showing up on June 18th, but our staff start on June 7th. So we'll start with training.
And is your staff all complete now?
I'm still short a couple guys, but I think I might be able to find some subs to come in each week and help fill that out for me. But if you know anyone over 18 and is a guy, please encourage them to apply.
Well, I'm over 18 and I make a real mean BLT.
I'll sign you up. Sounds like a plan.
Do you have fresh tomatoes up there in Camptonville?
We usually do order tomatoes. Yeah. I just don't particularly put them on anything, so I always forget we have them, but we do.
Yeah, then you find them 3 weeks later, and they're kind of squishy.
A little sometimes, but, okay.
Yeah, there's tomatoes have been a part of the starter of many science projects in the bottom of our refrigerator.
Well, they're like, as my grandmother used to talk about bananas this way.
Yeah.
Not ready, not ready, not ready. Ready.
Oh, yeah.
Ready for bread.
But bananas, you can make banana bread even after the bananas have turned brown. The ones that really go, and if you don't get them soon, are avocados, man. They have about a one-day window, and then they're gone.
I've never let an avocado go, so I wouldn't know. That's not a thing that happens in my world. So we've got camp coming up. We've still got those 5 weeks. We still have spots available for people to register, which is good, especially towards the end of our summer. The last week of July, which is our Christmas and July week, we still have a good amount of openings for that week. That week also has a mini week, so if you have younger campers, you know, people not confident that they'd be comfortable away for a whole week, send them for half of the week and they get the camp experience and get to go home early.
So Christmas in July.
Yep.
So do you have the real Santa Claus coming?
Yes.
Not one of these Macy's Santa Clauses?
No. Santa will be there. We may not see him all the time, but he will definitely be there. We'll do a little gift exchange with the campers. I'm excited for that because it's something that we're not asking them to bring a gift to do a gift exchange. We're asking them to make a gift
to do a gift exchange.
So there's plenty of time during all of our crafts that they'll be able to do that. So we'll do some fun things like that. The chaplain for that week is going to be Father Raj, who's up in Anderson. So really good for just fun that week with him as well. And ironically, when we did the traveling during the pandemic, we did the traveling day camp. The week that was at Father Raj's parish was Christmas in July as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, that worked out.
So
yeah, we're excited about it.
Have you done Christmas in July before?
We have. We've done it before. We have, like, we have Christmas trees we'll decorate. We have all the, like, decorations we'll do. We really like to live it up. I think, you know, that spirit that we all feel at Christmas, like, the joy and excitement, that's already at camp in general, so it'll just be heightened. It'll be more fun. And we'll do lots of different Christmassy activities, but, like, in summer. So you could also call it Christmas in Australia.
Yeah, true, yeah.
So we'll do little gift exchanges. We'll do different games, different crafts, just like we would normally do at camp. They'll still have the overnight. Everything is the same, but we're just going to theme it a little differently.
Good.
Yeah, I enjoy that. I'm excited for that week. I'm also really excited for Teen Week, our Survivor Week, which is just the week before. That's always a fun week for a plethora of reasons, but I really, like, getting to see teenagers just, like, because they're not trying to show off for each other, because they're at camp and everyone's still at camp a little bit. But they're also, like, they're in a place where, like, they don't have to, we have to put our teenagers in leadership of younger children in church and in everything we do, right? We ask them to help and serve in that way. And this is a week where, like, there's nobody younger than them. They just get to be the campers and have that full experience. So it's really exciting.
Boy, it sounds like all kinds of fun.
I think so. I mean, how often does somebody get to, like, go camping for the summer and just, like, you know, it's just an experience that not all of our campers get to have. Like, it's not an experience that they necessarily get the opportunity for a lot of reasons, but also if they live in a city, like, they're just not going to be able to have the same experience. Like, they're not going to be able to see the same, get the same experience with, like, stargazing and all of that kind of fun stuff that you do at camp. So it's just exciting to get to see kids experience some of those first. It's always funny. The kids that aren't really the big hikers, when they come back from the hike, they're tired. But I'm like, but you survived it. You did it. And you, like, looks like you rocked it. And then they always get a little, like, you can see the, like, pride of, like, yeah, I did. Like, I did the thing that was hard that I didn't think I could do.
Oh, that's good. That's a good feeling.
It is, isn't it? Like, there's always a thing in our lives, right, that, like, we're just intimidated by. That, like, there's just no way I'm going to be able to do this. And when they get to accomplish it, like, to just get to see that and, like, reinforce it with them, like, look what you did. Like, that's awesome. I'm really proud of you. Like, kids, like, they need that in their lives, right? And from hard work. Like, it's hiking, you know, 2 miles is challenging for some of our kids. So for them to really have that experience and, like,
2 miles is a good hike on a path. Is there any elevation gain or loss during the
trip? There's some elevation gain, yeah. They're going up a hill to get out of camp to start with.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of in a, I thought about it, we're kind of like in a gully. I don't know if there's another word for it, but yeah, you drive down into camp.
Yeah.
Hike up out of camp first, yeah.
Some parts of the country, they call those hollows.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
yeah, so they do hike up out of that and then to the different campsites. And they're 2 miles is like the max. They're all different, you know, distances. So the different campsites we go to.
So do you actually camp someplace other than at Camp Pendola?
Me personally?
No, I mean on these hikes when you get to the other campsites.
Yeah, so the kids, they hike out to these other campsites. There's, I mean, our kids that are going to the, they go on the trips. They're camping out at Bullard's Bar at the lake that's near us. And then the campsites are in the Tahoe National Forest. They're open campsites that we've just used for a number of years. I couldn't tell you what year they started using them. So they're different campsites that are along the different creeks that are in the area around. Around Camp Pendola, so I think it's, one of them is Bridger Creek, and I'm at a loss for the name of the other creek that we have campsites and get along. They're campsites that technically anyone could use, but a lot of people don't know they're there, especially the former campers.
So in addition to hiking, they're packing some gear.
Oh, yeah, they're packing gear. And they're shared gear. So they have their own personal stuff that they need, like their sleeping bag and toothbrush, toothpaste, that kind of stuff, for the overnight, and pajamas and stuff. But then they're also hiking out things like the pots and pans and the dishes that they need to cook their meals.
Sure.
They're packing out the food they're going to be eating. They're taking out, like, tarps and things that they're going to need to set up their camp area.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, like, if we are, depending on the summer, we do use camp stoves. We don't make them hike out the camp stoves. We bring them out to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the rest of it, yeah, they hike it out. They share it amongst their cabins. It's not like one kid has all the gear. They break it up so it's evenly distributed and everyone has to carry.
Well, that can make a 2-mile hike more like a 4-mile hike, though, if you're packing gear.
It can. It's depending on the size of the camper as well. But it's, yeah. You know, it's all the stuff they need. And, yeah, just. They have to take it out with them, though. Yeah, and then, you know, leave their trays, so they got to bring it all back with them, too.
Yeah, that's become really part of the deal of camping now is you know,
yeah.
leave no trace, yeah.
No, for sure, and it's important that we, you know, that we're leaving the campsite the same, if not better, than how we found them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before camp starts, the staff go out and we rake out the campsites that we're going to be using, try to clean them up as best we can. They are on, like, open forest land, so we can't do a lot of, like, you know, if there's tree issues, we're not going to be taking care of the tree issues. But,
right.
But yeah, we try to set them up as best we can, especially if that's using the summer. And then during cleanup week with the staff, we take a crew out and clean up the campsites if we missed anything during the summer.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So are you allowed to have campfires anymore?
We were last summer, but we haven't found out for this summer. So all of our forests were to use campfires or even the stoves. We need a campfire permit from the National Forest Service.
Mm-hmm.
The staff all get that permit, and then. There's notices of, like, burn days or no burn days.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we find out. Like, we just have to keep checking it throughout the summer. Last summer, we knew going in that it was going to be no campfires, just the stove.
Right.
But in the past, it's been we are good in the month of June and maybe the first couple weeks of July. But by, like, the third week of July, it was camp stove.
Then all the underbrush turns really dry, and
yeah.
That's how it can start.
Right, and, again, this summer we've just had so much moisture.
Yep.
And so much snow. I don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, where we do part of our, like, backpacking trip, there's going to still be snow until August.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ski resorts are staying open into July. And they just had more snow last week.
Yep, yeah. And, we didn't necessarily have rain in the valley, but they've, like, in Colfax, they were getting rain, and at the camp, they were still getting rain last week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? You just don't know what's going to happen with the weather, because...
Have we seen any results from positive or negative from snow melt so far? I mean, there was all these dire warnings about, you know, when that snow starts melting, we're, you know, especially in the southern part of the valley, you know, that they're really worried about flooding. Have you seen, you know, rivers or streams or little creeks rising at all?
I mean, I haven't noticed it as much. I think that our creek that runs kind of through camp, it's pretty full. Which is a good thing for right now. And we've just, you know, dammed up the pond to create the pond
right. This
last week. So so that's holding pretty well, and that's a good thing. I haven't really, but also I don't know that it's yet been warm enough for there to be snow melt.
Very much snow melt, yeah.
Right. It's been pretty cold. I mean, not horribly cold, but it's been...
Well, it's only been, say, 60, 65 in Sacramento, which means up in the mountains it's in the 30s at best and probably 15 at night. So you're not going to get a lot of snow melt at 15 degrees.
No, not at all. Not at all. Even, I mean, we had, like, camp, all the snow melted out of camp a week ago, but that's not what they're worried about. So, I think that we'll find that out closer to June, July. It's one of those things I'm like, well, this is not the thing I'm going to worry about today.
Yeah.
Because I just can't.
So are you still taking campership applications?
Yes, we still are taking applications for our camperships. So with that, a campership is for the household. So if a family is like one family trying to register, like cousins and everything, that's great, but it's still the individual households that would need to apply for those scholarships, those camperships. The basic membership is $200, and then if you proof of there's some more proof of income, up to 65% of the cost of camp.
Mm-hmm. Very good, very good. So, what do you have to do between now and you got to train your trainers?
I got to train my counselors and all the staff and. Clean up camp a little bit more. We have a cleanup weekend on Memorial Day weekend. We're just looking for anyone. They don't have to be skilled labor. They just need to be willing to help. It's a lot of, like, moving dirt and cleaning things up. They need to be ready for camp. I'm excited for that. Well, I'm excited to see everyone kind of come up and help us get ready for camp today. Work weekend is a lot of fun. But my parents are going to come up. My mom has never seen camp, so she's... I'm really excited she's going to come up and see
She
what
has
I do.
Never seen camp?
No.
She's
she
so deprived.
She's like, I agree. She has some mobility issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited that she, I just thought, like, my dad and I were like, it'll be fine. We'll make it work. So she's excited. I don't know how much help she'll be, but she's going to come and just, like, best moral support.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. So we just got some work to do up there that weekend. And then just trying to finish up all the projects that we've been working on, in the off season. We're trying to fix up the bathroom that the girls have used in Tekawissa, replacing the flooring in there and all the toilets and everything. So that's going to be a whole new situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're replacing the bleachers. They were just old, and some of the wood was just—it caused more splinters than anything else. So,
are you going to build your own bleachers, or are you importing some?
They're being built as we speak.
Oh wow!
So we're building our own. Just so those projects we've been working on in the off season, and just kind of excited to see them all finish and how it's going to make camp look a little refresh, you know?
Yeah.
So we're excited for those changes.
So with campership in general, I know you even had to shut down during COVID. Have most camps, whether they're Catholic camps or whatever, have they recovered or not?
I mean, I think it depends on how you define recovered. I think some camps have got, and depending on what state you're in, I think a lot of camps have bounced back. They've changed how they've done things, which was not a bad thing necessarily. It was changes that maybe they wanted to make. They're still getting campers, back. We got a lot of brand new campers this last summer. And so this year we do have quite a few, brand new campers, which is good. And it's good to have them kind of mixed in with the campers who have been coming for years.
Right.
Friends of, kids whose parents went to camp. We still have quite a few of those, which is always good.
Wow.
So we're close to where we were at the same time last year. We still have plenty of room for campers. Some of the weeks are filling up faster than other weeks, but there's still a good number of rooms for campers of all ages.
And just go to pendola.org to sign up?
Yep. Just go to pendola.org to sign up. You go to pendola.org on the donate page, you can see our wish list, and that's also where you can RSVP to come to work weekend.
Oh, good. And when's work weekend again?
Memorial Day weekend, so the 27th through the 29th.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, it just sounds, it sounds so exciting.
It is. It's always exciting.
Is this something once you get it all in place, you must really look forward to this?
Yeah. Once it's all in place, I'm nervous until campers start arriving. Yeah. If that makes sense. But because once they're there, Deacon Kevin once said to me, this event is you just got to get on the train and ride it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way about camp. Once the campers are arriving, you just hop on the train with them and just go. And, there are challenges, of course, throughout the summer, but I feel it's all worth it. When I get to, sit down between an activity and, just ask the camper how their day is going, that's the reason. There's lots of reasons people love to work at camp. Some mm-hmm. people really love that, they get to or come to camp. They love that they're out in nature. They love that whatever it is that they love. I really enjoy just, sitting down with a group of campers and, what was your favorite thing today? Just to find that out from them. And to see, them just, laughing at, some inside joke that I don't necessarily need to understand. Mm-hmm. But, they've got some joke in their cabin that is just hysterical to them. I think that's great. Those relationships that are forming, it's amazing.
Is there camp? Is there competition between the cabins?
We do have competition between the cabins, but I don't know necessarily that there is. We basically at every start of activity time, we kind of do a round call of who's there, who's not, to double check. And there's always a few cabins that get kind of competitive about that to make sure that they sound the, most excited. And part of that's because they want to win Cabin of the Week. We call that Super Cow, Cabin of the Week. They want to win Super Cow. So, and then others really get excited to win Clean Cat, which is, we have a Clean Cat that goes around and double-checks your cabin to make sure that you kept it clean
uh-huh.
all week. So, they love to win these because they, as a cabin, they get really excited. So some of them get a little competitive, but in general, no, except for Survivor Week. Survivor Week is a competition between the cabins.
Hmm. And how does that work?
So every day we do a challenge that's one of the activity rounds. So one day it's a cooking challenge. One might be there's a pond challenge one day. We've done, a quick scavenger hunt between the cabins, and then they earn points, and every day there's a winner. And then at the end of the week, at our closing campfire, we announce the Survivor Challenge winner.
Wow. We should get them on the show.
And nobody gets sent home on the TV show.
Yeah. So is it possible to do a hookup on the radio from up there, or is there you electronically challenged?
Oh, no, definitely could, too. We could do something on the phone, right?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. We get to get the winners of the Survivor's Challenge. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, we could even probably have some campers on in the summer if you call me at the camp.
So. Oh, that'd be wonderful. Gabe, we're going to get campers on in the summer from camp. They're going to complain about mosquitoes or something.
Probably, maybe. Well, maybe. I mean, especially with all this water, that's a high possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we are researching every single mosquito suggestion that myself and my assistant director, Bobby, have seen on TikTok. We are checking them all out. We're going to be ready this summer.
It's a problem for millions of years, mosquitoes. I mean,
exactly.
That's just life. It's not exclusive to camp. You try to have a backyard barbecue in the Sacramento Valley, you're gonna have mosquitoes. You just are. It's just the way it is.
No, for sure. That's definitely the way it is. So we, but we're researching all of the different remedies. We're just
especially up there in rice country. Oh my goodness, where all that standing water. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Jennifer, always a joy to talk with you. Thanks so much for all you do, and we'll look forward to getting updates during the summer. That'll be exciting. All right. Well, God bless you and all those campers and all the people on your staff. We'll talk to you again soon. That's Jennifer Campbell from the director, the very well-known director and very capable director of Camp Pendola. Go to pendola.org if you want to sign up for camp. Sign yourself up or sign your kids up for camp. And they do have family camp over Labor Day weekend as well. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on a Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand, for that wonderful introduction and for all you have done and continue to do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Every time I walk into the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament in downtown Sacramento, I thank you and so many other people for the renovation of that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Catholic church, Catholic cathedral in downtown Sacramento. It is absolutely, absolutely stunning. Well, we are pleased to welcome in Edison Martinez, who is going to be the director and the local instructor for an interesting, and very important R3 Dads Workshop. Edison, good to have you on the program. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for inviting me.
Did I pronounce your first name correctly?
Yes. It's like E. Dixon.
Oh, E. Dixon. I grew up in Davis, so I know about Dixon.
So that's an easy one then.
Yeah, I've the X threw me.
Yes, most people.
Yeah, is that an unusual name or not?
It is an unusual, even for us Hispanics. It's not a common name, and then I think there's a handful of people around the world. I was searching not long time ago with an X instead of an S.
Uh-huh.
It's a common thing.
Oh, sure.
An S,
yeah.
Instead of an X. Yeah.
Well, it makes you unique.
Thank you.
Very good. Tell us about R3 and about Healthy Relationship California. Who are they and what are they about?
Well, the funding for the grant we're using throughout the diocese is a project that was it was a funding that was provided to the Healthy Relationship California through the Department of Health and Human Services.
Okay.
The Administration for Children and Family. So the Healthy Relationship California is one of the nation's most successful healthy marriage responsible fatherhood grantee organizations. Basically, what we do is we provide comprehensive programs to people that are eligible, adults, fathers, couples, throughout the state of California. And basically what we do is we promote and sustain healthy marriage and responsible parenting and economic stability. We focus on communication skills. We provide these courses so fathers learn how to effectively communicate with their kids, not only to listen, but to talk with them and to resolve conflicts that comes to the family. So this is an opportunity that we want to bring through all the churches throughout the diocese in Sacramento in Spanish or English. And I have a great opportunity of already been teaching this class for the last 7 or 8 years to many of the churches here in Sacramento.
So the grant comes from the state of California, but Healthy Relationship California is actually a private organization?
It's a nonprofit organization established about 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we do. We provide marriage and relationship education and fatherhood education to qualified parents here in the state.
Very good, very good. And tell us about what is the R3?
Excellent, good question. So most people think it sounds like a band or something like that. R3.
When I said I think reading, writing, arithmetic.
No, not too far because that is related to education. Basically, we call it the R3 because it deals with three of the most important relationships for most fathers. And this is a class or course that focuses on fathers. Relationship with their kids, relationship with their spouse, and relationship with their coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
So we teach fathers how effectively we provide them a box with tools so they can pick and choose whatever they need to communicate with their kids, either to listen or to say things in the way their kids want to cooperate with them. And one of the greatest things we found through research is that the better relationship you have with your spouse, the better for your kids.
Oh,
so we not
yeah,
only
no
teach
doubt.
These fathers,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we teach these fathers to communicate not only with their kids, but their spouse as well. So they both have the same discipline fundamentals at home and make things easier for everyone.
So this is actually a series of classes, correct?
That is correct. So the way they work is that once you qualify, the three qualifiers are, number one, you must be or live in the state of California. Number two, you must be 18 years or over and have a minor, a son or kid or someone of influence. This is not only for dads, it's for father figures.
Mm-hmm.
It could be an uncle, it could be a grandfather, it could be how we call it, a padrino, which is someone that influenced your life or the life of a minor. So we teach these classes once a week for 12 sessions. Most sessions are at night from 6 p.m. To 8 p.m. Sometimes it goes from 6:30 to 8:30, but that's the latest or the earliest that we teach them. Once a week right now, we have a few classes going on, mostly in Spanish, in person. The beauty of this, Bob, is that you can take these classes in person, soon, live, from home, or you can take it pre-recorded or on demand, in any of the two languages. So it's we make it easy for everyone to come and join these classes and be transformed.
So how does the class run?
This class is actually, we cover basically 4 items within each classes. Like I said, it's a 2-hour class once a week for 12 weeks. So at the beginning, we basically set the foundation with each father. And we teach them how to communicate, how to use communication skills. After that, there's another very unique and important element. Is we teach them how to either find a job or get a better job. That's the economic civility portion of the course. We teach them how to go through an interview, how to ask for a raise, how to do all these very important things you need to do to not only keep a job, or to find a job or get a better one. The other portion of this course is related to finances. We teach fathers how to protect their finances, get rid of their credit cards, start creating emergency funds, and learning how to budget their money. I had the experience not a long time ago. I had a chance to teach this class in the Bay Area. And I have a group of very affluent fathers, they were in the IT industry. And one of them said, Ed, my problem is not making money. I can make money. The problem is I don't know where the money's going. And I think that resonates with a lot of fathers out there. They can make the money, but at the end of the month, they end up with more bills than money, and that's a big challenge. The other portion of this class that that's one of my favorite, is technology. We help fathers how to have one step ahead of their kids when it comes to technology and how to manage the time the kids spend in front of the iPod, iPhone, TV, computer, video games. That is frustrating for a lot of parents. They don't know how to manage that. And we help them using the skills they already learned in the course to deal with that and help their kids and protect them from so many things that are in the internet. You hear the news all the time about the cyberbullying and all these things that affect emotionally and sometimes even physically our kids.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some of us have begun to feel that the TV, which we used to think of, all these bad things about TV, it's almost become our friend because our only TV is in the living room, and now we know what they're watching when they're on their phones, when they're on their computers, when they're, it's like you feel like you're being a traffic cop. But when it's on the TV in the living room, you go, okay, they're watching something okay, So it's
that is very interesting. That parents right now don't have sometimes even the opportunity to know what their kids are watching because they don't know enough about the technology.
Right.
Some parents feel that they are intrusive getting into their kid's cell phone.
Right.
But if they don't somehow become aware of what their kids are watching, other influencers, calling YouTube, Instagram, or whatever, they will influence our kids, and they most of the time have more influence than us. So we need to be aware, have conversations with our kids about what they're watching, and take it as an opportunity to open for a conversation and create a relationship and an opportunity to share the gospel or share Christian values.
Right, and besides the little screen on your phone or whatever it is they're doing, everybody has headphones too, so you can't even hear the conversation that's going on.
That's right.
It's becoming a challenge
for parents.
Well, I only have 6 kids, so it's easy for me. But that's 12 sets of eyeballs and 12 ears.
That's right. And then after that, it comes the grandkids.
Yeah, oh, I know.
We, as father figures, we want to be able to influence as well. I sometimes joke with some of the parents that, sometimes you mess up with your first kid, okay? And then we have a saying in Spanish that you practice for the first one, you know, something like that. And
my mom told me my mom had four kids all year apart. I was the fourth, and then she had another one, but we don't count her. She was the pet of the family. But anyway, but she said, you know, with the first kid, when they'd throw up, you know, you're calling the doctor and it's the end of the world. She said the fourth one, if they threw up, which would be me, we just hope you didn't do it on the carpet, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and talking about that, I mean, sometimes as fathers, we not always have the time to get home. And I should notice, having six or five kids, that's not the common. The common right now is just to have one or two kids,
right,
and that's
right.
It. Because as much as many times parents believe that they can handle. But if you remember, in your time, in our time, it was easy. I'm coming from a family of four.
Yeah.
So it was for Hispanics, that seems to be like a thing. Just not having one is not enough. I mean, you have to have more.
Right.
And it's not easy for parents, regardless of their nationality, to deal with their kids and the challenges that the modern world offers. We live in a democratic, technological advanced society, and with a lot of diversity. And one of our number one job for us as fathers is to prepare our kids for the future.
Yep.
And as you probably noticed, some parents fail to launch their kids a certain age because they're not ready. They're not ready. And this is something that I advocate a lot when I help these fathers, is to help them to prepare their kids for the modern world, real issues that are happening right now. And I help them, like me and many other instructors through the state of California, teach these fathers the proper skills to be able to deal with that.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I always say to my own kids, you know, that you're all role models. And I'm a role model. My wife's a role model to our kids and to society. And they are role models, and they're going to be role models, not just to their kids, but to other people. Modeling good behavior can be contagious.
That is correct. And this is something that some parents don't realize, how much our kids are sponges, and they absorb every movement. I mean, as parents, sometimes we say, I don't want you to do this or that, but then we do it.
Yep.
And then they're not going to necessarily listen to what we say, but what we do. So we need to modify our behavior at home and be mindful that our kids are learning from every decision we make. And that's why I sometimes say that we not necessarily need to protect our kids from every single decision at home. We need to be inclusive, help them to manage conflicts and manage resolution and manage communications at home, so they know themselves how to do it in their own family. It's funny that when I started a new class, I asked many times to the parents in the room, sometimes 30, 35, and I asked, how many of you had a chance to take a class to become a father or a mother before you had your first kid? No one raised their hand. And I just waited. Are you sure? Nobody? And then I raised my hand and say, what if I tell you that all of you already took a class to how to be a parent? And they get surprised. And I said, that class was at your house. For good or for bad, whatever you learn at home when you were a kid, most of the time, it's when you're practicing with your kids. So sometimes we need to modify some of our behaviors. We realize that that's not what we want for our kids, and that's what we do. We help these parents to have a second chance to be a better dad.
Yeah, you know, I remember when my wife was pregnant with our first child, somebody gave us one of these beautiful big coffee table books, which was every single day of pregnancy. You know, day one, you know, the sperm meets the egg, you know, and then day two, day three, day four, day whatever, 2021, the heart starts beating. And every day we wouldn't look ahead. We'd turn the page and we'd read it together. Today, you know, and obviously there's going to be a little variation from kid to kid, but today your child is this, you know, and all the way to 266 days, you know, when the child's supposed to be born. And it was so fascinating to see the changes, and they were all true. But then the baby was born, and that book didn't help us again. It was like, whoa, it didn't say what happens on day one when the baby's breathing on its own, you know.
And that's
was,
right.
There
right.
was no manual. There was no nothing. We were on our own.
Yeah. Although we have the Word of God to guide us. The Word, the Bible tells us the what, but sometimes we lack understanding the how, how to apply some of these biblical concepts that we learned. And like you said, sometimes you can read some things from the book, but reality says something else. Reality sets in the moment that baby comes and starts crying, and then you learn how to change that diaper, but now you don't know how to cope with the stress in your relationship, because every time a baby comes home, everything changed, Bob, and you know that because
real fast.
You went through that six times already.
Even the family dog is unhappy. You know, what is this thing in my house?
What is this thing? Yeah, and everything changed. And then many times you go through stages. You know, this amazing new baby came home, and you are excited about it. And then during the first few months, you start talking about all the preparation, all the things, all the wishes and dreams for your kids.
Right.
But at times go by, this automatic pilot comes in, and then the mortgage comes, and the payment for the car, and the payment for school, and all these things come at once, and then you start forgetting about your kids. Unfortunately, it's happened. For example, I had this dad that he shared with me. I'm going to name him Jose. Jose used to just come like every father, come home, he's tired from work, sit down on his couch, and then his kids want attention from him, his wife needs attention from him. But he says, you know what, I'm tired right now. Let's just open a drink and start, you know, pouring his drink and watching TV. And he just passed out there until next day. The thing is that years went by, and his marriage started getting affected by this behavior of not listening, not taking care of all these things. So his first marriage failed. Now, he gets into a second marriage with another two kids, and he's starting to notice the same pattern, same behavior, and same results. So I just happened to go to his parish and start talking about this class. The guy enrolled in the class. I was fortunate he did, because he's starting to realize at that moment that he was the cause of that first marriage to fail, and possibly the second marriage in the same way. So he prepared himself. He learned how to listen. He learned how to use communication skills, how to listen with intention to understand, not just to reply. Right. They learned how to say things and communicate and connect with their family. And that, as a result of many months of practice, he finally got into a much better situation with his wife. It's now he gets home, he connects immediately. Instead of sitting in the couch and just on the couch and just watching TV or checking the mail or whatever, or kicking the dog, whatever, he goes now and connect with his wife. He learns specific skills, how to connect with his kids, spend some time with them, listening to them, their day, how their day went, and they learned specific ways to how to do this. And he says, you know what, we're still having problems like any other couple, but now he feels to have the tools to manage and create the communication and the type of family he wants. And those are the kind of successful stories that I hear often from parents that graduate from this class.
Yeah, you know, you make a real good point about listening. You know, people sometimes think that listening and talking, it's sort of like taking turns. You know, you have your turn to talk, then I have my turn to talk, and I'll listen to you, meaning I hear in my ear, but I'm not really listening to you. I'm not really taking in what you're saying. I'm just giving you your turn. And it's much more than that. Listening really involves, okay, putting yourself in their shoes and really hearing what they're saying, whether it's a complaint, whether it's a joyful story, whatever it is. 5 minutes later, you don't want to say to yourself, I don't even remember what they said, because then you weren't listening.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And that is a common problem among husbands, for example. We love to fix problems, Bob. And if you're like me, naturally, everyone comes with an issue, and you mostly have an answer. Especially you, you've been on the radio, you interview so many people, so you acquire a bunch of information. And when people ask you about something, the first reaction is just to think of the solution.
Right.
But you are perfectly right. It's our habit. But the key is, like you said, is just to listen. It's an art. And that's what we teach this parent. And that's why we want to bring this to every single church in the diocese. We want to be able to be invited to different meetings in the church so we can tell the congregation about this class. So at some point, we'd like to share how people can know more about this class, how people can get in contact with me so we can bring this at no cost. There's no charge for this class. This is completely free. When I say free, I mean this is a class that has a value of $3,500 per participant in resources. But participants don't pay because the grant pays for them.
That's
and
wonderful.
The only two things you need is basically is to live in California and have a minor, that you're an influence to a minor of 24 years or younger.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, most people qualify for that. The classes are only for fathers. Unfortunately, we only keep it for, as you know, there's a bunch of resources out there for moms. But how often you hear, Bob, a class for fathers, for dads?
Right.
They're rare. So this is a unique opportunity, and we want to bring this as many people as we can. We already graduated over, 2,000-3,000 participants already only in Sacramento, and we want to be able to keep going and using all these resources, go deep into the dioceses and bring these resources to every single father figure that believe that can better their relationship with their kids, regardless of their age.
And they start June the 13th. Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that's a Wednesday.
We have different classes.
Oh, yeah, different classes, okay.
Yes, in Spanish right now, in person, we have one starting on June the 13th and the other one on June the 22nd.
Okay.
But they have to apply for that before that day in Spanish. In English, we have many other classes in order to know which classes are in English, online, or pre-recorded. They can visit www.r3academy.com. .org.
Okay.
R3academy.org. And they can go to the website and they can see all the classes that we have, when they're starting, how to apply, all those good things.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, it is such a joy to talk with you. And I know this is just valuable stuff to really help build our society with good dads, good parents, good spouses. It's just valuable stuff. So thanks so much for what you do, and thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, Bob.
Yeah, God bless you. Take care. Thank you. That's Edixon Martinez, who is running this program for again, go to R3, just the letter R, R3academy.org. And to learn all about these classes. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, Countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
We stand and lift our hands for the joy. Bow down.